KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you. Beautiful Monday, 72, 73 degrees. And I am actually very happy to say I'm with my friend, Shelley Rep. Shelley, I've known you for so long.
Yeah.
You've done amazing things in ministry, and you're hosting an event. You are the executive director and founder of the New Mexico Dream Center.
Correct.
You work with victims of human trafficking, primarily youngsters.
Yeah. Yeah. We really try to focus in on those that are really easily exploitable, and so target those young people.
So we want to warn everybody, hey, this is probably not a show that your young child should be listening to. This is going to be a serious discussion. You have an event coming up this weekend. It's called the New Mexico Human Trafficking Experience.
I do.
Now, when I hear that, I'm thinking about Disneyland experience or this or that.
Right.
But this really is a difficult topic. So I really want you to tell our listeners, what is it mean they're going to have a human trafficking experience?
Yeah, exactly. It is not like a Disneyland experience. Number one, we can't afford rides or costume characters. So let's just go there first. But really what this is, Jim, is to help people become aware of what human trafficking looks like in New Mexico. There's a lot of misinformation out there about human trafficking. And I run into people all the time that think trafficking victims are foreign nationals. They've been brought across the border. Or sometimes if they are a U.S. citizen and they are a trafficking victim, they were kidnapped. And that is really not what we see. We really see how trafficking victims are recruited and developed through these different systems within our community. And so this experience is really that awareness aspect. People will walk through, be given a narrative, and have to make some choices and see where they end up. We want people to understand how exploitation happens and how it can really be kind of sneaky.
And I've said it many, many times, maybe every time I see you, but when we first started talking about this, I knew what you were doing, but I didn't know what you were doing. Because
sure.
I didn't realize the gravity, how common this is. Like, for example, you've taught me terms over the years like familial trafficking.
Right.
Where families are trafficking their own children.
I know.
It just hurts my heart to even say it, but that happens all the time.
It does. It really does. And, you know, when we think of trafficking and kind of the different models around trafficking, what we're really looking at is a vulnerable young person and an adult that is exploitive in some nature. Jim, I just worked with a church where a staff member's husband was grooming a kid at that church, a teenager, and it just, you know, just thought they were friends with all of these things. And then all of a sudden there was kind of the big reveal, so to speak. And here was somebody in their mid-30s who was grooming a teenager that they said they were going to marry them and they were going to do all these things. And Jim, this is like just within the last couple of weeks. So I think it's important that people understand that this is relevant, that this can happen at your church, this can happen in your neighborhood. And, you know, there's no way that you can put enough policies and procedures into any church to solve all the problems. What you have to do is you have to put the effort into making the people safe. And the way that you make the people safe is by, you know, foiling the plans of the enemy. Like, we see this as a biblical thing. Like, there's a way, there's a pattern, there's a method. And if we can let people know this is what the exploitative people are doing, you have a better chance because you're making the person safe, the potential victim.
Well, and oftentimes you've described many, many aspects. So we're going to spend this first segment just talking about the New Mexico human trafficking experience. What would our listeners, if they sign up to go to this, tell us how they do that, but what will they experience if they go?
Absolutely. So we're going to have some snacks. So, you know, you can't have an event without some food, right? So we'll have...
Well, you can't have Christians unless you feed them.
This is true. I have heard this. I think it's proven itself to be true over
That's
the years.
Right.
So there are some snacks and a little bit of time to kind of let everybody arrive, fill up your belly a little bit. And then we are dividing people into four different teams, and they are going to then walk through some narratives with some choices. So each group is going to have a card that tells the story of kind of some of the things our victims have been through. We don't want to identify our victims through these stories, so we've kind of compiled their stories into some broad ones. And so then as they go through this story, they're going to be challenged with decisions they have to make. So do you remember, Jim? I don't know, you're a little older than me, but do you remember the Choose Your Own Ending books that were like back in the day? So you'd start like the adventure and then yes. You'd have to say, turn to page 20 if you want to, you know,
I do remember that. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's that same kind of concept where then they are given a couple of choices and they have to make a choice. None of the choices are easy choices because the young people that we're working with are never faced with easy choices. There's not this hero that swings in and is like, I will save you, and swings out with you. It is real life choices you have to make, and then what are the consequences with those choices? And so each group is going to experience as they go through what those choices are and then where those choices lead and how that potentially ends in a human trafficking.
Why is it important to have put together this walkthrough immersive, if I could use that word, experience?
You know, I have been, so here's the deal, Jim. New Mexico Dream Center is 10 years old this year.
And you've been talking about on the radio pretty frequently.
Yeah. And we still have people who do not realize that it is happening in our community, that it is something that can happen to your family at some level. And there's just that lack of awareness, not only at the family level, Jim, but systems level. So when we look at social systems, there's not language around human trafficking. When we look at legislature, there's not language in our criminal code around human trafficking. We just met with APD, I think 2 weeks ago, with dispatch to talk about, can we have some language in there so when people are calling dispatch for 911 and are able to identify human trafficking or they suspect it, that should be able to signal some sort of a response, even if it's not an officer response for tracking purposes, but we don't have that. So we just had a meeting with dispatch about that. So when we look at that, we have a whole lot of people who really do not understand what human trafficking looks like. So this is a way for us to hopefully help people realize that human trafficking isn't this weird thing. It's not the creepy person in the van where you're like, stay away from the creepy white van. It is real situations in young people's lives that we need to be aware of. So,
okay, it is creepy.
Yeah.
But it might be that person standing right next to you that looks as normal as everybody, the proverbial wolf in sheep's clothing.
Well, you know, in the church that I was working with, the person who was, you know, grooming this young person, you would never look at them and go, oh, he's creepy. You would go, oh, he looks a little nerdy. You know, like maybe he's a techie guy or maybe he's this or that or whatever. But there wasn't anything where they were like, oh, he's creepy, stay away from him. It was, you know, situations that people are in where you need to see the danger of the person in that situation.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
The New Mexico Human Trafficking Experience is this weekend. Would you give us the date, time options, yes, and how to sign up?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is Saturday. We have two sessions. We've got a 4 o'clock session and a 6 p.m. session. Because we do divide people into groups, you do have to register to attend. It's not, you can't just walk up to the event. We will have to say, oh, so sorry, unless we have some no-shows, I guess. But so the way that you register is you can super easily Google NM Human Trafficking Experience, and it will take you to our Eventbrite page, and you can register there, or you can go to our website, nmdreamcenter.org, and we have a registration link there as well. So either of those places will get you to that registration, and it is free.
What do you hope, and we're going to ask you this in every segment.
Okay.
Our listeners are listening right now. Hope some people will fill up the rest of your spaces.
Yeah.
But what do you want them to do after they attend? What do you hope to accomplish?
So here's hope comes in a couple of categories. Big picture hope. I want people to be aware of what human trafficking looks like. So when something happens in their family, they can go, wait. We need to look at this again. We need to talk to somebody about this. We need some help with this. I want people to be aware and see that. So that's big hope. Small hope looks like, are there people in that audience that can help us make connections with legislature, connections with other social service agencies? The whole reason we got to talk to APD is we were in a meeting with hoteliers, and one of the people in that meeting was connected to APD, and they're like, oh, hey, let me help you make a connection. And so smaller hope is, what kind of doors can be opened to help New Mexico Dream Center walk through and be able to potentially make really important connections? Another hope, here's the deal, Jim. We are a nonprofit, and nonprofits lived up to their name of not being profitable. And we would love funding hope.
Provide all your services to trafficking victims at no charge to them.
No charge. We cost $0 for any of our services. And that includes our harbor, which is a drop-in center, which provides meals. So they open up at 2 o'clock and we'll have dinner. That includes our shelter, New Mexico's only shelter for human trafficking victims, the Eliza Jane House. That includes our apartments that we put our clients in, transitional housing, and we are remodeling a 7-bedroom house to be able to provide more transitional housing and services specifically for pregnant victims that of human trafficking, and that will be no charge. So having some funding is always helpful.
Shelley Rep is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. They have an event coming up this weekend. It's called the New Mexico Human Trafficking Experience. You can go to nmdreamcenter.org and click on events and sign up. You definitely have to sign up to be part of this. It's happening this Saturday.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be, I guess, for lack of a better term, immersive experience. You really want people, like, for example, you've given me this example before. You have a child that might be 12 years old. They feel a little bit isolated. Parents can't communicate to them. They're cutting themselves off. All of a sudden, they start communicating with what they think is a teenager on the other end of their phone. That goes on for a month or two, and then they get invited to meet somebody at a certain place.
Yep.
And then it gets really scary.
Absolutely.
And most of us think that can't happen to my child.
Yep.
But it does.
It can and it does. And it, you know, as our world becomes more virtual, the likelihood of running across somebody who has bad intentions in the virtual world is higher and higher and higher.
Plus, there are things that I think you've pointed out, and we'll talk about more of this because you're going to be with us till 2 o'clock. You will give us some ideas about how to recognize signs of these kind of things happening. So Shelley Rep is with us. We hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. Now it's time for us to say thank you to our sponsors, and we hope you will stay with us till the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Shelley Rep is with us, the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. I'm Jim Williams with you this afternoon. Thank you for listening. We always appreciate everybody, and I hope that ABQ Connect has the kind of content that you're after. We try to have nonprofit agencies that I think are doing just really amazing things. Shelley, I've often told you that you've had a couple of young ladies, and I'm an old guy, so I get to say that without sounding too chauvinistic, but they're going out on the streets of Albuquerque, and we're going to spend this segment talking about human trafficking.
Yeah.
You've had 5-year-olds that were being trafficked. That is just so scary to me.
It's crazy because it's hard for us, you know, when we think about what we would call like normal family life, you would never think that somebody would want to purchase sex with a child that young.
What do you mean when you say things like victims are hidden in plain sight?
Yeah. So we, you know, every country has its own model of human trafficking. And in the United States, you're not as likely to find a victim who is like chained to a bed or like kept in a basement or something like that, which is something you might see somewhere else. So that means the victims are kind of among us at some level, right? And so this is what we really see in Albuquerque with victims that are in plain sight. We see young people being sold on the streets of Albuquerque, and that doesn't necessarily mean that the acts being committed against them are happening on the street. It's most likely going to happen in a hotel or a motel, but they are being sold online. They are people who are in families. There are people still in school. And so when you're talking about how victimology works, you've got victims who you could be crossing paths with and you maybe wouldn't know. Can I kind of relate a story about
Yes.
how some people were victimized in just small town New Mexico? So this happened in Portales, New Mexico. And so there was a trafficking ring that kind of, you know, began operating in that area. And Portales is very much a college town. Like, so much of the industry is around the school, ENMU out there. And so these parties started popping up. And so they were like college, and I say that in air quotes, college parties. And they were inviting juniors and seniors, high school students, to these parties. And you know, how cool is that? That if you're a high school student, you get to go to a college party. This is so cool. And it seemed like the people at the party were college age students. And so that's kind of what it was. Well, at the party, they would spike the drinks. And so the girls would have these drinks and they were being spiked specifically with ecstasy, which they call X. And ecstasy really acts kind of like a truth serum. And you also lose your inhibitions about things. And so they were getting these nude photos of these high school girls, and then the girls would go home from the party not remembering that this was happening. And so they would be home doing their own thing, and then they would get a text message from a number they didn't recognize, and they didn't remember giving out their phone number, but the text message would say, hey, meet me at, you know, wherever at 6 o'clock, and I've got like a date for you. And these girls were like, what are you talking about? I'm not coming. And they would say no, or who is this, or whatever. And then a picture of that nude was sent to them. And they're like, if you don't want this to get out to your parents, to your school, to your blah, 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 your church, any of these things, then you need to meet me. And so these girls were sneaking out of their house, and they were meeting up with these people, and they were being trafficked. And so this was happening under the roof of the parents. You know, you've got parents who still think everything's fine. They didn't know that their kids went to this college party, and yet they're living in their homes. They're not necessarily being, you know, brought from place to place. It was all happening locally. So that's kind of an example when we're talking about hidden in plain sight, where you've got a sex trafficking ring operating in a small community right in front of everybody, but nobody knows that it's happening.
I can't help but think about you writing legislation for our legislators.
Yeah.
And trying to explain this to a group of people. And a trafficker is saying things like, well, this is done of her own free will. We didn't
right.
know she was 18. You've tried
18.
To get language
yep.
introduced into
yeah.
legislation so that if you do any of this stuff with somebody under 18, you're going to jail.
Right.
And we won't
right.
put that language in. Why?
Yeah, it is rough. So there's a couple of different things that we hear. There's some pushback, which may or may not be true. One of the big pieces of pushback that we get is around what's called SORNA, and that is the Sexual Offenders Registry. So it's a national registry. And when you commit a sex crime and you are convicted, your name shows up on that registry. And there's all sorts of limitations if your name shows up on that registry. You know, you can't live within X number of feet of a school and, you know, all sorts of things. So it's for good reason. Most of the time. I mean, I'm sure that there's...
People are opposed
they don't.
To putting people on this registry?
Yeah. And so that is, the registry has a very, have very deep pockets, and they have a lot of advocacy around not putting people onto this registry. And so we had language in the legislation saying that if you are purchasing sex, commercial sex, your name should be on, you know, part of the penalty because, you know, when you're writing legislation, you're like, we should say the penalty should increase to this and have this. And oh, by the way, you get registered into the SORNA database. And so that was one of the big pushback pieces was, well, we don't think that people should have to be on this registry. And so when you're looking at trying to pass legislation around things like human trafficking, specifically sex trafficking, there's a lot of things like that that pop up that I would never have thought of. I wouldn't have been like, oh, the people who are, you know, advocating for SORNA to disappear or for SORNA to be very limited, are going to be there at, you know, trying to come against what this legislation is. So that's one example.
You've said in the past, when people look away, harm continues.
Yep.
Why do people tend to look away from this problem?
Well, so a couple of things. One is, I think people think that it's really isolated, that it's very rare, and so something that doesn't happen a lot. So
we think this is only happening over on Central and Louisiana.
Right. That's it. That's all. It's not happening anywhere. It's definitely not happening in Rio Rancho. It's not happening in, you know, any other community.
And of course, you're being facetious. It's happening everywhere.
It is absolutely happening everywhere. I've been to calls in Rio Rancho. And so when you're looking at that, it is something that you see as isolated. Like when we were talking with one of the people trying to set up talking with hoteliers here locally to say, hey, can we educate your staff around human trafficking so that if they see something, they, first of all, they can maybe recognize it and then they can do something about it. They can, you know, call the police, do something. And you have any hotel that is higher middle class and up saying, oh, it doesn't happen in our hotel. And I'm like, yeah, I've responded to picking up a human trafficking victim at your hotel. And so we have to realize that this happens in industries across the state. It is not something that's just the really bad, terrible, you know, motels that are off of Central. It happens there, but it happens across all different types of businesses and, you know, tourism, all of these things. And so if we're not going to look for it, it's easy to turn away. So I would say that's one of the things.
And we should just emphasize that this is not just about traffickers and the victims. This is about consumers.
Yes.
Because without the consumers, there would be none of this.
Exactly. You have to have a marketplace. And we have allowed a marketplace to grow and grow robustly in New Mexico. And since we're in Albuquerque, we would say specifically within Albuquerque, if there were not people who were looking to purchase sex, specifically sex from minors, then I'd be out of work. Jim, I'd have to come see if I could come work with you at the radio station.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you. What amazing praise it would be for us to say, no more human trafficking.
Right?
It's all gone.
Right, exactly.
And I think that, is this problem so big that it can't be solved? Or with some practical steps from political people, with law enforcement's engagement, which you work very closely with law enforcement, with more Christians involved in the process, could we eliminate this problem?
I think we could come pretty darn close to eliminating it. And here's kind of what I see with that is, you know, you'll have some people who want to be really active in saying, what can we do to help eliminate this? And so we can say we need to have some good safety practices, like it's good for you to have these, you know, cameras, for instance, and these types of things. I think that's good. Legislation, I think, would be wonderful, because then we could say, well, here's a penalty if somebody is caught trafficking a person or is purchasing that person. So I think having,
are those not in place now? Penalties are not in place?
Very minor. You'll get in more trouble for trafficking drugs than you will for trafficking a person. And so
that's slavery, isn't it?
It is. So we still have a lot to do with that. So we can see those things which are like systemic issues, are we need to address these issues. But Jim, what we really need to do is we need to address this at the home level, because you don't just magically become a sex trafficking victim. You don't magically become a person who is out there to purchase sex. You don't become a trafficker just overnight. These things all happen when we're talking about the breakdown of a family, when we're talking about things that are happening in homes. And so what we really need to do, if we're going to say, how do we solve this? We really need to say, how do we have accountability and how do we make people safe? And that can be really challenging, because then we are going to say things like, parents, are you watching your boys? Are they watch, or and girls, are they addicted to pornography right under your nose and you don't realize that, because when you handed them that tiny computer that you call a phone, that opens the world to them. And so, you know, what are the things that we need to do there? What do we need to do in teaching our girls in how to have safe relationships and what to look for in safe relationships? Oh, and to feel comfortable talking about those uncomfortable things with their parents. Like, here's the thing, Jim, a lot of Christians, and I used to be this Christian, wanted to have my family in a bubble. Like, I'm going to just work all my stuff to keep my family safe, and they don't need to know about all of these terrible things happening in the world. We're just going to live in a little happy bubble, and we're going to go to church, and we're going to homeschool, and we're going to stay here, and this and all of that. And God's pretty good at popping bubbles and saying, you are a part of this world. You are not separate from this world. You are mine, but you live in this world. And we put our kids at a disadvantage when we don't lean into those uncomfortable and challenging conversations for the good of our children. Because guess what? Somebody else is going to lean into that conversation.
Shelley Rep is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center, and she works with victims of human trafficking. She has a staff of people that help her with casework and helping people in many, many ways. We're going to come back after this break and talk about the New Mexico Dream Center and the various programs that they offer. And one question I'll have for Shelley to start the next is, what has impacted you personally the most in this work? We'll be back on ABQ Connect with Shelley Rep. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Shelley Rep with us with the she's the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. Shelley and I've known each other a really long time. Shelley was part of the Fellowship Christian Athletes group when she was in high school. 15?
Yeah. Yeah. So like we're talking about the 80s, Jim.
Yeah.
You know, back in the previous century, we had some things going on.
Well, those were very exciting times, because that's when I was new to the faith. I had an opportunity to share my faith and see people, literally hundreds of people.
Oh, yeah.
Come to faith in Christ. And you've taken that commitment to Jesus, and you've formed this nonprofit, and you've worked with kids. So tell us now about, start the segment with what's impacted you personally the most, and tell us about the New Mexico Dream Center.
Yeah. So when I think about even my salvation story, because that's when I came to faith, I wasn't raised in a Christian family. And I remember going from darkness to light. Like, I remember, like, that's really specific in my head. And then I remember, really taking it to heart that my life is not my own. I was bought with a price. And so I became like a zealot. And sometimes that was good, sometimes that was not good. But part of that was this peace in me that God put, I believe God put in just my heart and my soul, that I don't like bullies. Like, here's the thing. If there's going to be a bully, I am going to bully back, and I'm going to bully harder, and I'm going to bully bigger. And I think that was all these pieces that God was putting in me to be able to stand up and advocate for a really underserved and unrecognized population that can be difficult to work with. We do not have easy clients. And I don't know if easy clients is a thing for anybody, to be perfectly honest, but we have chosen to work with really, really challenging people. And so that has been this act of faith in believing that God has called me to walk these steps and represent him in this community. And so I don't know if that answered your question or not, but that's kind of what my pathway is.
I want our listeners to realize, though, that you've worked, you've already described the difficulties, the trauma that people experience being trafficked. Have you seen people come to faith in Christ?
Oh, yeah.
And their lives be transformed.
Can I just have to tell you this really one awesome story about that. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, so we've got this gal, and she was actually, we did a video about her for our Breakfast of Champions last year. So she was, each year we have a client who kind of does like a testimony or whatever. And so we, our outreach team engaged with her as a homeless young person on the street, and she was addicted, and she had done a lot of things to survive, and she ended up in a trafficking situation. She was started coming to the Harbor, which is our drop-in center for unhoused youth, and she found out that she was pregnant, and so there was a lot of, okay, what do we do now? Well, she had all these warrants, Jim, and she didn't have enough money to pay them off, and some of them were not able to be paid off. She was going to have to spend jail time. So she did go to jail. After going to jail, she was released. We worked with her parole officer and the program she was in for her to come into our shelter, the Eliza Jane House. So she came in and she was at that shelter. She gave birth to her beautiful daughter, and we were then able to help her get her own apartment, which she has now. Okay, so right. So here's the beautiful thing within that is each of these stages, she encountered different people who represented Jesus to her, because she'd had a crappy life. Like, why would somebody want to serve Jesus? Y'all have this easy life. You know, I don't know what you're talking about. But at every level of our programming, she was able to just work with somebody who was not judgmental, who was kind, who was caring, who represented Jesus well. And so she started spending time. She ended up going to church, was watching church on TV, and I went over to her apartment a few weeks ago for something, and I'm walking up to her apartment, and I'm just hearing like praise music just like blaring through the apartment complex, and it was her apartment. And so she was talking about what God has done in her life, and she's like, I know that God has a plan. Well, part of this plan is this girl needed a job, and here's the reality. When you have a background that is a human trafficking background, you don't have the opportunity for work a lot of times. When you have a background of homelessness, you don't have a job. It is hard to find a job, especially when you are a youth and you don't even have the things to get a job. And then you've had some criminal behavior, even if you've paid, you know, that price, so to speak, that's on your record. And so I'm like, you know, this is going to be hard, you know, but she does need to have a job. She does need to self-sustain. And so then I get a call from one of our partners or a text message, and they're like, hey, we're working with this business. They really want to see if there's a way that they might be able to help some of your folks. They're hiring right now. And I called them up and I'm like, I have got a gal who needs a job. And so they interviewed her. She still had to go through the whole process. But those things that were holding her back are now these beautiful pieces of her testimony, and they hired her. And so I look through all of this, and Jesus is woven through, whether his name was said or not said, he was woven through every aspect of this story, because God loves her. Like, he loves her just like he loves all of the victims that we work with, and just like we think about him loving us, and you know what happens in our lives and how particular and just impressive God is within all of that, that he knew the right circumstances for her. And so I think about that, and she's just this amazing example.
So you've mentioned the Eliza Jane House and the Harbor.
Yeah.
Harbor's not it's not an overnight kind of shelter.
No.
But it's a place where people can shower, they can use the phone, they can get on the computer, you have case management, like people help get driver's licenses and all of that stuff. What are some of the other services that you provide?
So the harbor is specifically pivoted towards unhoused youth because we know that they're exploited out on the streets of Albuquerque. So I just want to say that right there. So we do have the Eliza Jane House. And so the Eliza Jane House is a shelter. It's not set up like a congregate care shelter where, you know, you think about a shelter and you're like, okay, there's all these bunks and all these people. Every person who comes into that shelter has their own bedroom so that they can be safe, because as a victim, you don't live in a safe space, and your boundaries for being able to keep yourself stay safe are really worn down. So we wanted them to have their own bedroom. So that is what we have at the Eliza Jane House. And so ultimately, we'd go outreach on the streets, leads to harbor experiences, which leads to Eliza Jane House, which then leads to our transitional housing program. And the transitional housing program is apartment units that we have leased where one of our clients can live for potentially up to 2 years while they're working on school or job skills or any of those things. So after they get through that transitional housing program, they're able to self-sustain. And so that's kind of the funnel system that we have set up for our clients. And with that, it's all supported by case management. So direct services to help make sure they're getting behavioral health services, that if they need, you know, life skills classes, financial classes, that we can get them connected to all of those kinds of things. And then we're working on our new project, which I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. in that we have a 7-bedroom house that was donated to us. And we worked with Bernalillo County, who gave us some money that we're matching to be able to have it renovated. And we are going to have that house set up for, God keeps sending us pregnant trafficking victims. And so we are working on being able to then have services for those victims at that house. I think I talked about Casa de Mariposa.
Casa de Mariposa,
yes.
Yep.
And so they were very kind and generous to merge with us. And so they've got a lot of good programming pieces that we inherited from them, so to speak. And so we are in the process of getting that house renovated so that we can start programming there and be able to expand our program again.
You know, we have Paula Gonzalez, the director of CareNet.
Yes.
You know, talking about people that are pregnant and you know, it's not a marriage situation or whatever.
Sure.
You're talking about victims of trafficking that are pregnant, but I can't help but think about a statement that Paula emphasizes all the time. When someone is pregnant, that is not an accident of God. There is a person that God wants to bring into this world that's going to have an impact.
Yes.
They just need to know about Jesus. And you guys are fulfilling that role.
Right. I love that. I think that's so important for people to understand, is that we might look at our lives and see it as a series of accidents with whatever it is. But that doesn't mean that's the vision God has for our lives when he sees those types of situations. And so I love that. I think that's a great
way. What are ways our listeners can be part of the ministry of the New Mexico Dream Center?
Well, we always need volunteers. So outreach volunteers, as you've said, we do not send outreach volunteers out onto the streets with things like baseball bats, Jim, just FYI.
That's the way I would want to go out
I know,
on
which
the street.
Is why you're not our outreach
it's
director. Scary.
It's, look, and I've told you this. I've gone out to the intersection of Louisiana and Central at 12:30 at night and just sat in my car and watched what's going on.
Yeah.
And it is terrifying.
Yeah. Well, and so we have a very specific model that we feel is really safe for our outreach workers. We also do not go at midnight. We go in the evening, and then we also go on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So we're like Wednesday during the day, Thursday during the day, and then Fridays is our night outreach. And we only have one staff member that organizes that and does that. And so we really rely on volunteers to help fill that out. Another part of that with volunteers is we get invited to a lot of community events where they want us to have a table and talk about Dream Center. And so there's only so many we can do because we just don't don't have the time. So that's another great outreach opportunity for volunteers. We need volunteers to make meals for us. So we feed a lot of kiddos who like real food. And then we also do that for our shelter. We have this wonderful gal who I believe she's originally from China, and she makes Chinese food for our shelter once a month. And we're able to take it over there and have some really delicious, authentic food at the shelter. So having people be willing to make meals for us. We have, do you remember that lady from, gosh, Jim, was it 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah. She lived in the senior center, yeah. And she collected all the toiletries.
She collected all those toiletries. And we use those for our outreach bags that we put together. And that costs a lot of money. I mean, I've got limited pennies in my account here. And so when that gal talked to her neighbors and started collecting all of those shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, body wash, all of those things, that saved me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars in what we were doing for outreach. So that is a thing. Oh, and then let me tell you this. I haven't even mentioned it. Do we still have time left on this segment?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to give you the information for this as well. We were nominated by somebody in the community. I'm not exactly sure. I think I know who did it. And she nominated us for this thing called Paintsgiving. So New Mexico Painting Specialists started last year, had their very first event, and they picked a charity and they're like, we're going to gather our partners and we're going to paint your stuff. And so they did for this charity from last year. And so they picked us this year, and they're trying to make it bigger and better and bring a lot of community partners. And so they are providing all of the paint for that house I was telling you about, that seven-bedroom house. And so they partnered with like Sherwin-Williams for the paint. They're going to have their folks paint it so it's like a good paint job, because I've seen a lot of paint jobs that maybe aren't that great. So having professionals makes a difference with that. And then bringing in some other community partners. Well, that all happened because somebody talked about New Mexico Dream Center. You know, I didn't call them and say, you should pick me. I didn't even know they had that.
I love it.
And so these are the kinds of ways, connections that make a difference in
how can people reach out to you if they want to volunteer or help you with a project or anything?
Yeah. So the best way is to go to our website, nmdreamcenter.org, and we have a button at the top that is ways to connect. And so if you hit that connect button, it's going to open up a page with a lot of things. And so it will have a volunteer portal where you can go and say, I'm interested in volunteering. If they want to donate, you can donate through there. But it has different ways that you can connect over there. And we love that. It's also where you can go if you perhaps have a business or work somewhere and would like to have training around human trafficking, want your staff to be trained. We train a lot of people, or your church. Like maybe you're like, you know what? I wonder if it could happen that we would have somebody trying to groom a teenager at our church. Maybe we should train our church staff. I'm like, yes.
Shelley, when we come back, I'm going to have you talk maybe 5 minutes. We're only going to have about 10 minutes when we get back. I'm going to have you spend 5 minutes on how to recognize when someone is trafficked.
Gotcha.
And then spend the rest of the time just talking about how people can support what you're doing with the New Mexico Dream Center. We'll be back with Shelley Rep. Stay with us. We're back on ABQ Connect. Shelley Rep with the New Mexico Dream Center is with us. She helped to found this ministry how many years ago?
10. We are 10 years old this year. Who knew?
Well, what's interesting about that is I've been on the air here just short of 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been part of the Calvary Church for a long time. By the way, I should let people know, whatever church you're from, if you love Jesus and you have things going on, we want to be part of telling people about what's going on and what you're working on. Calvary, we're on the campus of Calvary Church, but Calvary Church is, they want KLYT to be a tool for the evangelical community. They want this to be a tool for you to communicate with people, reach out, tell people about Christ. Rochelle came in here during the break and said, you guys have 6 minutes. I've already taken two, so I better turn the ball over to you. Shelley, what are some immediate ways people can get involved? And I'm hoping you'll tell us about what the Evergreen Circle is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we talked about different ways that you might be able to volunteer. It's, you know, Jim, this is how God does stuff. When you pray for things, He put somebody in your pathway. And that might be the answer to the prayer. It might be they open the door to the answer to the prayer. And so I think that all of us as believers have to kind of look at our lives that way and say, how am I the answer to somebody's prayer? It could be a financial gift. I mean, I'm not, like I said earlier,
sure,
you know, we definitely need that. And that actually kind of goes into this whole evergreen circle. So we realized at the beginning of last year, funding in the nonprofit world is really tricky. And with that, it's really easy for it to disappear. So what we wanted to do was to make an opportunity for people to give on a monthly basis that would help bring stability so that we can continue to scale our activities. Because we're limited within that. You know, we talked at the last segment about this 7-bedroom house and how exciting it is. Jim, I didn't buy that house because guess what? I don't have enough pennies in my bank account to right. do that. It was somebody who, when we were praying and we said, God, we need a house. We need to be able to do something for these clients that don't fit great in our shelter, that we can't put into an apartment by themselves
talking about
right now.
In that house, you're primarily working with pregnant women, right?
Right.
And I
right.
don't know. I mean, I have 5 children.
Yeah.
Pregnant women are not inexpensive to take care of.
It's true.
I mean, there's just a lot that goes into it.
There is. And when you're working with somebody who has then that trauma and history of trafficking, you're just, you know, going to see even more challenges there. And so when we prayed about it, it was somebody hearing the voice of God to say, you need to donate this house to New Mexico Dream Center. God didn't, you know, write this magic check that said to New Mexico Dream Center, from Jesus Christ and in the memo, you know, house for pregnant people. Like that's not how it works. It is us on this earth being responsive to that tap from the Holy Spirit about taking those next steps. And that's what I would say we need for people to understand here is that they very well could be part of solving this problem. And it could be something in their own lives where perhaps there's a family member and they're like, you know what? I need to ask about my 16-year-old niece. God's putting that on my heart.
What kind of things do you recognize in trafficking victims with all your experience?
So it's going to vary greatly, but for people who are housed, what you're really looking at is secret keeping and secret keeping of relationships. And so I think if I could pick one thing of what is the biggest thing I need to look for is looking for secret relationships. If you've got a secret relationship, that is a dangerous thing for a young person. And that relationship can happen online through a video game chat. You could be texting. It could be social media, but a secret relationship. And so parents need to have conversations with their young people and they need to be aware of that. And now there's a bunch of things that can lead to that. Like you could look for physical things like, why is my kid having bruises all of a sudden? I don't understand what's happening. Why does my kid leave the room whenever their boyfriend calls? How do I scan my phone if I'm worried about different things? There's a lot that goes into that. But this type of exploitation, especially for housed, like this is who's listening to this program, I'm mm-hmm. assuming, people who have their own house or apartment or whatever it is. So they're living a life where they feel pretty comfortable. And so when you're looking at that, you are looking for behaviors in your child that are going to feel secretive to you. All teenagers are going to be secretive at some level. So I'm like, they're like, Shelly, what does that even mean? What it means is developing a relationship with your kid and having safety precautions so that you are able to understand who they are spending time with. And I think that is something that's huge and so important.
One more time, we're going to talk about the New Mexico Human Trafficking Experience. It's this weekend on Saturday, 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. You do have to register to be part of it, but the event is free. Only a few spaces left.
Yep.
Reach out through nmdreamcenter.org.
Yep, you got it.
I love it. Shelly, if our listeners remember just one thing from today, what would it be? What would you like it to be?
I would like it to be human trafficking is happening here in your community, and your awareness of it makes a difference in the life of your family or somebody else's family. And so be aware, know that human trafficking is there.
And don't be so arrogant as to think that children close to you are not affected, because they could be.
100%, 100%.
I'm always amazed how much you know about this. I know you're working with the Attorney General's office. I know you're working with the police departments. You're working with churches. You have a big job, Shelley, so God bless you.
Thank
and
you.
Give you extra energy in your work.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jim.